Welcome to the Simpleton Podcast, the most popular podcast in heaven. And today we have a special audio essay written by one of our devoted listeners in heaven. And we will not tell you who that listener is, it happens to be a saint, until we're near the end of the episode. So you have to stay tuned. All right. This is the 10 rules for a day. It sounds a lot like Jordan Peterson's rules for life, but this saint was much more modest. He was just going to create just 10 rules just to get through the day.
Just for the day.
All right, Laura, can you give us the 10 rules just for the day?
All right, here we go. Number one, only for today, I will seek to live the livelong day positively without wishing to solve the problems of my life all at once. Number two, only for today, I will take the greatest care of my appearance. I will dress modestly. I will not raise my voice. I will be courteous in my behavior. I will not criticize anyone. I will not claim to improve or to discipline anyone except myself. Number three, only for today, I will be happy in the certainty that I was created to be happy, not only in the other world, but also in this one. Number four, only for today, I will adapt to circumstances without requiring all circumstances to be adapted to my own wishes. Number five, only for today, I will devote 10 minutes of my time to some good reading, remembering that just as food is necessary to the life of the body, so good reading is necessary to the life of the soul. Six, only for today, I will do one good deed and not tell anyone about it. Seven, only for today, I will do at least one thing I do not like doing, and if my feelings are hurt, I will make sure that no one notices. Eight, only for today, I will make a plan for myself. I will not follow it to the letter, but I will make it, and I will be on guard against two evils, hastiness and indecision. Nine, only for today, I will firmly believe, despite appearances, that the good providence of God cares for me as no one else who exists in this world. 10. Only for today, I will have no fears. In particular, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe in goodness. Indeed, for 12 hours, I can certainly do what might cause me consternation were I to believe I had to do it all my life. To conclude, here's an all-embracing resolution. I want to be kind today and always to everyone.
All right. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Yeah. Let's kind of talk about this, you know, big picture wise, and then maybe talk about individual points here. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts right off?
Well, I think the thing that most stands out is the focus, obviously, on only for today. And I think, like, I struggle with this. And I think a lot of Catholics struggle with this, and maybe in my circle, like having a sort of like, you want to think about the ideal life, you know, and what life should be like and the future. But when it comes down to the nitty gritty of doing laundry without resenting your family, that's actually very difficult, you know?
Yeah. I think that's all kind of summed up also in that very first one, only for today, I'll seek to live the livelong day positively without wishing to solve the problems of my life all at once.
But we spend a lot of time thinking about the whole life, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of like heartache about like your life not being able to get fixed within a day, you know. And I feel like, you know, we work with a lot of people whose life's in a pretty deep hole due to a lot of like historically bad decisions. And there's this depression where it's like, I can't get out of this hole. But really they can. It's just going to take like 18 months before they can really feel like they've made great progress, you know?
Yeah.
But they want it to happen in like 2 days.
Yeah.
You know? And I've also found like the number one sign of crack addiction. I know I'm way off topic. This is not this. These 10 rules are not about how to work with people who are smoking crack. But the number one telltale sign that someone's smoking crack is, you know, the person, you know them well, their life's a mess, right? and you go to them and you're like, hey, do you want to talk about this? Do you want some help? Like, what can we do to, like, you know, fix, start working on this, right? Mm-hmm. And the crack, if they've been smoking crack, what they're going to do is they're going to say, don't worry about it. I already applied for a job. I've got this lead on housing. This is working out and this is working out and I got some money coming in. And when you leave, you're like, I can't even help this person, but good for them. In 3 days, they're going to solve all their problems. Right? Like, they've got some 3-day solution to a 10-year long problem. And really, they're just high.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. But we all kind of do that sometimes. Maybe you're not high on crack. You're just high on your morning coffee. But I think that's just interesting. Like, some days in my life are, I have a pretty free structured life because I don't have a normal 9-to-5, I suppose. But like, some days are just like written for me. It's like, here's 4 emergencies and you should have done this yesterday and you have to do all this work today and now go, you know?
Yeah.
And then other days there's like not, my day's not written. And then I have to like try to get something done.
Yeah.
But there's no big objective that's going to be met. And I just have to make a little progress on a lot of, like, an incremental progress on a lot of little things.
Yeah.
This is like a really good attitude for that, is my sense.
Right. Yeah. I have like a thing that's a little bit of an anxiety buster and it's productive, you know, but it is also like kind of a spiritual thing too, because I'll worry about a big thing in my life and is it going to turn out and is it not going to turn out, you know, and am I giving it to God? Am I not giving it to God? Hand it over to God. And just saying like, okay, have I done the steps that I can do now to address this? Yes. No, no. Do the steps. Yes. Okay. Now just give it to God, because you literally cannot do another thing, you know, about it right now. We're like looking for the satisfaction of like having ended the project, you know, or something all the time. And it's like laundry never ends. The dishes never end. And so it's like right now, today, have I done the laundry I needed to do? Yes. Or no, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It also struck me before we kind of go point by point here, but like, you know, like when people read the Beatitudes, one of the first things that you have to kind of get in the right headspace with is like, this is not a checklist.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of things in these 10 that kind of are a checklist. Like,
yeah, like do the 10 minutes of reading or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Right. But a lot of this is about like getting in the right headspace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the right attitude for the day, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but like if you said, hey, Clark, write 10 rules for people's days or for your own day, I'd be like, get more than 6 hours of sleep. Don't eat sugar. Get some exercise. Like, it would be much more like earthly like stuff, you know? And I don't think I would have been capable of quite putting something like this together. Yeah.
Right. I think your parents and also Father Adam's parents had like, oh, you're feeling bad. Did you eat? Did you exercise? Did you sleep? Did you pray? You know, I think that's pretty good
advice.
But I think it's pretty solid. And I've seen some kind of shorts of people making fun of people saying like, oh, I barely slept last night and I've been eating junk food and I haven't gone for a walk outside or called my friend. I don't know what's wrong with my life. I'm depressed. I've been seeing those. I think I would want to add, my laundry is a big focus in my life right now, but it's like, yeah, are you doing laundry without resenting your family or not?
Like, that this is what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, I sent it to, you know, to live in the moment, to realize that this like weird family moment you're in today is actually what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, and to enjoy your kids right now and to enjoy your life right now, you know?
Yes.
Well, let's go through this then. Mm-hmm. So we already talked about number one, which is I will seek to live long day positively without wishing to solve the problems of my life all at once. Number two is my least favorite.
That was my least favorite.
How about you read it again?
Okay. Only for today, I will take the greatest care of my appearance. I will dress modestly. I will not raise my voice. I will be courteous in my behavior. I will not criticize anyone. I will not claim to improve or to discipline anyone except myself.
I've got 2 reasons why this isn't my favorite, but what's your reasons?
It. Oh, well, mine. Okay. Well, one is like, I think I need to discipline my kids. And I do raise my voice at my children and I don't like doing that. So that is good. That is a good thing to commit to. Somehow the idea of modesty and appearance and behavior, or appearance, fine, whatever. But I feel like there's something chafes there.
I'm kind of like, you know, I got a bunch of kids. I'm, you know, a little bit, I'm in midlife, a little bit, in my mind, a little bit past midlife, you know, and I'm starting to have more fun with my dress than ever before. Like I used to be like Boy Scout business casual, like, you know, polo shirts and part my hair and stuff like this. Right. And now I kind of go for like Pacific Northwest cowboy. Which I love that it's that specific.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it can't be Southwest cowboy or Kansas cowboy. It's kind of those guys who wear a bunch of wool who live in the Pacific Northwest were cowboys. Like that's my like new kind of like play acting right now I do. Yeah. And I like that. It's fun, you know?
Yeah.
And I also am not like, you know, I'm happily married. I'm not looking to date or anything. You know, it's just like I'm dressing this way just for kicks, you know? So maybe I shouldn't, but like, I don't feel guilty about it. Right. But the other part about this is the more important part that I think the author and I could have a chat about later. But the part that is more important is like, I sometimes talk to our new missionaries about kind of Christianity 101 and Christianity like 201 or 401. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is like, when you're in high school or early college, there is like focusing on that verse that's like, take the beam out of your own eye before you try to take the speck out of your brother's is like kind of a very important thing.
Yeah.
You know, work on yourself. Don't try to work on others. Like,
I think at that age, you also, you really see the other, you know, like it's like, especially if you're kind of had a recent Christian conversion, you really see everything that's not that and you're very eager about it, but.
That's true.
I'm sorry. Go.
No, no, you're right. You're right. Yeah. I think you're right. I think though that like, it is the right focus, right, to correct yourself and not others. But then as you kind of like travel along in Christianity, you're going to get to the point that you're like either running RCIA or running Simple House or running, something, or like even with our missionaries, they're going to get to the point where they're like living in community. And guess what? If your housemate is being a, flop and never does his dishes and never does this, never does that, at some point you better bring it up.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't, you're creating this own little hell and you're kind of avoiding bringing it up.
Yeah.
And then the house becomes this boiler thing and they end up wanting to murder each other when really they could have just solved the problem by like kind of trying to improve or discipline one another.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're trying to fix the person. You're saying, hey, look, man, we need to be washing our dishes, you know, or, you know, flushing the toilet or whatever the gross thing is. Right. I have to tell these people, I go, look, I know that you think that you should only be working on yourself and never give like a correction or never like order something.
Yeah.
I think of it as like right ordering a situation. And it's like, no, man, you have to right order. And when you find out who wrote this, you'll realize this person had a lot of authority. and that's a hint as to who wrote this. But like, if, it's like that person had to have been right ordering things.
Yeah. You know, I think something that we kind of do try to, we need to right order things, but without like murdering or hating your fellow volunteer or wanting to see them go down in flames because they're bad at the dishes, you know? And that's like a big challenge. That's right. A big challenge for everyone and living in community. And it's like a big, and there are times and sometimes specific volunteers that need to be like, sometimes I say to a volunteer, like, if you can tell this other volunteer this message, you know, without getting angry or whatever, and you can deliver it simply, you know, as a constructive, helpful thing, you should do this. If you are going to tear the person down in the process, you should hold your tongue and deal with yourself first, you know? But
I think there's like this like counterintuitive thing there or this irony there. And maybe I'm misinterpreting what he's saying. Cause it says, I will not claim to improve or discipline anyone except myself. Maybe holding a standard up is different than improving or disciplining someone. Maybe you're just saying, look, no, we will be operating like this. This is the minimum standard. I'm not really improving or disciplining you. I'm just telling you what the standards are. And we're going to hold that standard. But the irony and counterintuitive part of this is if you avoid, you know, like kind of holding that standard, the anger grows.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes very hard to say the standard without the anger and the hatred and the murder. Right. Yeah. And if you do it from the beginning, you just dewire everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You just are like, it's not a big deal. It's dishes. Okay. It's not a big deal. Go do your dishes, you know?
Yeah.
And, so-and-so didn't do their dishes again. It's not a big deal. They just need to do their dishes, you know?
Yeah.
And you're just going to tell them they got to do it, you know?
Yeah. Saying it simply without anger is not really disciplining someone.
Maybe. Yeah. But it has to be done early, because if you don't do it, then it becomes the anger and then you're kind of screwed.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of like in a very hard spot where you still got to do it, but you're much more likely to like judge and sin in a way, you know, or hurt yourself while doing it. So.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the next one. Can I read the next one?
Mm-hmm.
Next one might be my favorite. It's the one that stuck out to me the most. Only for today, I will be happy in the certainty that I was created to be happy, not only in the other world, but also in this one. I like this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like this a lot because I don't feel like it's understood intuitively by people that it's not like living the Christian life should just create happiness and that God is... I feel like what people see is that the devil was like given this world. I've heard people say that, right? And it's like, okay, at some level that's true, you know, in another level, the devil can't hold an existence this world. The devil can't be like creating all the new life in this world. The devil is like such a complete zero compared to God.
Yeah.
That I feel like there's like this like temptation of people to like feel like the devil is like a yin and yang to God. And it's like, no, the devil's like less than nothing compared to God.
Yeah.
You know, and in fact, this whole idea that evil, everything created by God is good. God did not create evil. Therefore, evil is not a thing.
Yeah.
You know, because it wasn't created. You know, maybe I didn't say that perfectly, but I think the idea that it's kind of this weird Catholic idea that evil doesn't actually exist. It has this other reality that's not quite full existence, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like when you meditate on that, it's just like, there's just blessings all around us. It's all from God.
Yeah. It's like promised in the Bible that if we like turn our life over to God, we will receive it back 100-fold, you know?
Right.
And to me that means blessings and happiness. And I don't know, but it does seem to be a common thing we need to straighten out. Yeah.
A lot of times when we do like these advice ideas, like here's how you should live or here's some tips, right? I feel like there's a lot of assumption that someone's in a place like I feel like in my life, I have a lot of blessings, I have a lot of responsibilities, and I have a lot of freedom to reorder things, you know? And there's other people who are literally just trapped.
Yeah.
You know, and they might be a child in an abusive household or married to someone who's an addict, or they may be the addict, you know, where the addiction's just kind of kicking their butt, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like sometimes these like kind of 10 rules for the day, they're not necessarily for that person.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they are and maybe they just need rethought to be so. But I just want to throw that out there that sometimes when I have these opinions about what people should be doing, I'm kind of assuming like most of the people I talk to and myself like have like some freedom and agency in their life, you know? So,
yeah.
And Christianity is supposed to be for people also who are just in the hole, you know?
Yeah. You and I are both in situations where we have a lot of agency to maximize happiness and well-being and thriving in our lives. Right. And thank you, Jesus, for that. I do think a modern mistake or something that seems to plague us is that our circumstances, you know, determine our happiness, you know, and I think we need to reject that wholeheartedly.
That's interesting the way you put that, because it's like our circumstances determine our happiness, and that is the way it's sometimes, that's a trap, like, you know, people feel that way. But it's like, well, think of your broader circumstances. Your broader circumstances is you're created by God, loved by God, sustained by God, loved by Jesus. He can be there with you in this moment, inside you in this moment.
Yeah.
Like you can be free in your mind and heart. Like there's all this like interesting like broader circumstance that we ignore when we feel like, you know, the micro life circumstances.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
and obviously, like
us.
Being in an abusive, horrible relationship or being in a concentration camp or whatever,
right.
It's like, does not, you know, it certainly hampers feeling that happiness, right? But
right.
I think I've found this like when I'm anxious about something and not trusting in God, I have this horrible feeling that I am trapped and I can't get out. And now that I've grown up some, I know that as soon as I start feeling like I am trapped, I'm like, something is off in my thinking and in my faith in God. And I need to reorient myself, you know, and to me, that's a sign that I'm not like putting my trust in God or even analyzing a situation rightly. People are in circumstances where like their options are a lot more limited than mine are for sure. But there's like always an option to turn to God. And I think like at a simple house, you know, it's like when we help people in ministry, we're kind of trying to open up their options, you know, to thrive and be happy. And right. So I do think like the material things like do matter and we can work at them. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm like nitpicking at what you're saying a little.
No,
bit,
I think you're right. How about you read number four? Because it's strangely like we've been foreshadowing what the number four is. Go ahead.
All right. Only for today, I will adapt to circumstances without requiring all circumstances to be adapted to my own wishes.
I love that. There's this thing about kind of being obedient to reality or obedient to the available reality in front of you. That's just like, you just got to get over that.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the situation you're in. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have any. I like that one. That's one of my favorites, but I have no commentary.
Oh, yeah. I think just in like thinking about child rearing and I think a lot of us are tempted to a lot of like the world should be this way. And I think, you know, kind of liberals and conservatives might have both, you know, ideas that, you know, but it just isn't, you know, but the specifically, though, the desire for like safe spaces, etc., as opposed to like, let's make people resilient, you know, is a weird cultural thing that we're doing right now.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to go for the next one?
Yeah. So 10 minutes of reading. Good reading is necessary to the life of the soul.
Yes. Can I replace that with like listening to a good podcast or something?
Yes, I think you can, but I think it's
the Simpleton podcast would not count, though.
Exactly. No, I think. Yeah, I think if you're choosy about your podcast. Yeah,
I just find like I read a lot more when I was, you know, younger and single and stuff. And now I just like I listen a lot more than I read, yeah. You know. I kind of think 10 minutes though, anyone can do that. So it's not like,
yeah.
I almost take that as a little bit of a challenge and correction to make sure I get at least 10 minutes in a day. You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah. I think, I mean, this is common, but I think a lot of people, for me, it's like trying to, if I'm in my room, but not ready to go to sleep, can I do something fruitful, even mildly fruitful, instead of looking at my phone? That's like a challenge for me. But or if it's on my phone, it could be, you know, not looking at shorts or reels, you know.
You know, I read a little like article, and I have no sites, and I'd love to know more about this. So if you're in the audience and you have more info about this, please send it. I read something that was along the lines of like anthropologists or psychologists joke about how weirdly fundamental reading is. And what they meant by that was like, I think what they meant by that was like, if you tell someone, do you see that sign? Don't read it. They can't not read it.
Yeah.
Not just because it's just like, it's like if you see the words, you just get the meaning, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what's weird about that is like, it's not like with the evolutionary idea of how people were created. You weren't created to be reading books.
Yeah.
But reading is so natural that it's like you almost can't not do it, even when the words are presented to you, you know? And that's just kind of interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's an aside. All right, let's get back to it. All right. Only for today is number six. I will do one good deed and not tell anyone about it. So don't post it on Facebook.
Yeah.
I try to get myself to be greedy that if I did something, it won't get out because I feel like then my reward's in heaven. And if people say good job or whatever, I get kind of, I try to get myself a little bit pissed that I'm getting my reward now and I don't want that.
Yeah. This one was maybe also one of my least favorites, because I'm like, yeah. I feel like this is like fluffy advice people give all the time. Like, but there's actually a really weird genre of like video right now where it's like, oh, here I am. This homeless man is on the ground and we're going to help him out and send me some money so we can help more homeless people like this. Hey, man, how you doing? And they're having this like very human connection. And he's really helping him, but he's like, the whole thing is on video. And I'm like, what the hell is this?
Right.
And it's like very yucky to me. But people love it. People find it very inspiring. The comments are like, oh, this is so good. And I'm like, what is this? So
another hint as to who wrote this is this was written before social media.
Yeah.
So we're applying it to social media, but it's not really from that era.
I was also sort of wondering about, like, if you're a parent, like, who needs this? Because what is a good deed? Because I'm like, man, I'm doing like I'm doing sort of deeds all day long.
Another hint is this person was not a parent.
Yeah.
All right. I think this is the most directly scriptural of all the 10 points, probably.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. I mean, it's just like that. You can just create Bible. You could just footnote that with Bible verses about doing good deeds, not telling people about it.
And so. I'm just being a jerk about it. But yeah.
Well, we know you, Laura. The audience knows who you are by this point. Yes. All right. All right. Let's go number 7.
Oh, this was a tough one. I will do at least one thing I do not like doing. And if my feelings are hurt, I will make sure that no one notices. I feel like those are totally unrelated, but.
Yeah, that's how I felt, too. I was like,
yeah,
why are these two thoughts together? Because like most of the things I don't like doing don't have anything to do with my feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless maybe it's like apologize, or maybe a lot of the things he had to do that he didn't like had to do with things that were interpersonal, not like, you know, changing diapers or something like this, you know?
Right.
That could be true.
I think, though, this, if my feelings are hurt, I will make sure that no one notices. I think this is sort of interesting back to the idea of like the volunteers and the dishes. It's like, well, if my husband does something to hurt my feelings, the way I process this is always like, I can choose to get over this right now, or I can say something, you know, and is it better to say something? Because it would be, I don't know. I have a hard time telling sometimes, like, when is the right time to say something like, hey, this is not good for our relationship or something, you know, like to improve the bigger thing, or, you know, he's having a bad day. I can just eat that little comment and not and not worry about it. And I feel like I have that choice, you know, any given time my feelings are hurt. And I don't know what to say about it, but.
Well, yeah. You know, sometimes when we do have to like give a difficult message, which you often don't feel like giving, because that's why it is a difficult message, you know, so it can apply right here. Sometimes a person reacts, I don't want to say violently, but like they lash out. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes. Yeah.
And really that doesn't mean that your message went unheard. It doesn't mean it wasn't a success or anything. It often means that that was very sensitive and that they might still think about this 2 weeks later or 1 month later. And it was very important you said it.
Yeah.
And you almost have to just kind of like not engage the lash out, you know? So there could be something like that here, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes like I'm a landlord, right? So like, if I had to confront a tenant at something, I kind of know that inherent in me being a landlord and confronting a tenant about an issue could be like, you know, the people they're having over or whatever the issue is that's hurting the building. I'm threatening their housing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm threatening their home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, not like trying to. I'm not saying I'm threatening your home, but there is this implied.
There's a primal like.
Right. And they coming at me, you know, at that moment is like kind of understandable because like, you know, this is more important to them than it is to me at the end of the day, you know? So, and they're also getting critiqued, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, so I have to kind of like, kind of get that and not like get personal about it, you know, but all right, let's go to number 8. I think number 8 could have been in Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. Only for today, I will make a plan for myself. I may not follow it to the letter, but I will make it, and I will be on guard against two evils, hastiness and indecision.
I feel like there's a message here for lots of different personalities, like right. for the perfectionist, you know, for the procrastinator, for...
I am more prone to hastiness than indecision.
Well, I'm prone to hastiness when I'm indecisive, because I'm prone to indecision. Hmm. But then when I'm like, okay, you've let things get out of control, like, fix it now, you know? And neither of those, like, produce good, you know, fruit in my life. when I'm kind of giving way to... There's also a message for, like, it's like you need to be disciplined, but don't be controlling.
I don't have anything to add to that.
Yeah, pretty good.
Only for today, I will firmly believe, despite appearances, that the good providence of God cares for me as no one else who exists in this world. This I love, and this is the one that most speaks to me almost like as a correction. I do believe this. Like, this is not a thought that I haven't had before, but it's like making that real, that that I'm actively getting provided for all the time in a very special way by God is, that's part of living in reality. And that's a hard, And it's like, I feel like our ego or whatever is always contradicting that reality. You know?
I think there's something instructive about how faith works here. The intellectual argument might elude me about God for a while, but just today I'm going to decide to believe he is good and he is providing for me, and I don't have to understand all of metaphysics and theology and whatever. I don't know.
This particular love of God is one piece of the good news, that God doesn't just care about Christians. He cares about you. You know, he doesn't just care about the world. He cares about particularly you, you know, and every moment of you.
Right. But it's this idea of only for today, I will believe this. Like, it's like, even if you're kind of struggling with some confusion or doubt or something, just try this on for today.
Right.
Yeah.
And it says, I will firmly disbelieve. Mm-hmm. I will firmly believe despite appearances.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like he's saying, yeah, of course, this is written in any theology book, maybe, but
yeah.
This is not enough to think of it as like a theological truth. This is a firmly believe.
Yeah. And right, but it's now. Something that you have to practice. There's something that you have to do about it right now. You know, even if you don't have the whole big scheme figured out.
Right. Let's do the last one. Number 10. And then we'll get ready for the reveal of the author of this 10 rules for the day. Only for today, I will have no fears. In particular, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe in goodness. Indeed, for 12 hours, I can certainly do what might cause me consternation, worry to believe I had to do it all my life. Right. Keeps you from getting overwhelmed. It's very similar to this idea that I was meant to be happy, not just in eternity, but right now, you know, enjoy the goodness and believe in the goodness, you know.
It's also, I like the love God and do what you will. you know, it's like if you're loving God and orienting your life that way, you can just be unafraid and go ahead.
It reminds me of sometimes people say, like, you have to eat your frog. I only learned of this saying recently.
Yeah.
Indeed, for 12 hours, I can certainly do what might cause me consternation, were I to believe I had to do it all my life. I can eat frogs for 12 hours today.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean a lifelong commitment. You can't commit beyond the moment. So it's kind of interesting. Well, I guess, I mean, we do commit beyond the moment with marriage and different things.
Yeah.
There is this other way that it's like, there only is the moment. What are you going to do right now? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like when I'm like exercising, I like enjoy exercise, right? But sometimes it's like you're doing something and you're like, this is horrible. I can't do it any longer. It's like, I can do it for 5 more seconds. I can still do it for another 5 more seconds.
Right. Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm going to put the conclusion out there. To conclude, here's an all-embracing resolution. I want to be kind today and always to everyone. I don't know what to think about that. Like, I feel like later in my life, I'm trying to master being the kind jerk. you know, like the guy who's like kind of contrarian, who needs to tell you the thing that you don't want to hear, but I'm trying to be a kind jerk all the time. And I think I might be in error in this. Like, I think I need to just be more traditionally kind, not just rascally kind, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that Dr. Jordan Peterson listens to all of our podcasts?
I know he missed a few.
Okay. So, you know, he's not listening to all. I think if in the next year you see him come out with a new book called 10 Rules for the Day, you're going to know where it came from.
Yeah.
And I hope he gives proper credit to the saint who wrote this.
Yes.
So should we go over the hints on who this is for people playing along? Do you have any hints for them, Laura?
Well, I thought some of it felt like a little old fashioned and some of it felt very modern.
And I felt like it felt very modern.
Yeah.
I don't see something like this being written in the like 1800s.
No.
Right. So more recent than that. That'd be my sense, right? And then another hint is there's a number after this person's name.
This person had a lot of authority and had no children, you already said.
Yeah. This person is... Do you want to say it, Laura?
John the 23rd.
Saint John.
Saint.
The 23rd. Pope, yeah. Saint John the 23rd. Yep. All right. This was revealed at one of the memorial masses for Saint John the 23rd in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
The cardinal who gave the mass revealed that this was his 10 rules. It was called the Decalogue of
Saint John the 23rd. He wrote this for...
I think he wrote this for himself. I think this was his morning meditation, but I don't know that we know the full story on it. I just randomly discovered that this existed recently. And so I thought it was good to share, but it would be interesting if there was more dug up on it, like how he used it. If we do, we'll cover that in a future episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, hey, you know, we need to talk about a couple things with Simple House for a second. Everyone listening to this, please consider making small monthly donations to Simple House. We have a donor. You can also make medium-sized donations if you want to.
I mean, make whatever size, but regular monthly donations are important.
That they're very important for us, just as like a way to help us operate, as opposed to one-time donations. But the other big thing is, all new monthly donors are 100% matched by a special donor we have, and they're matched for a year. So if you give $20 a month, that's $240 a year, but it's $480 after the match. Mm-hmm. So please consider giving. You can do that through our website. You can do that via checks. You can do that through your bank. Just want to say that. Also, we are in the middle of recruiting season right now. If you know some people who would be good Simple House missionaries, maybe even they're not new college grads, but they're more experienced, but they want to come, please tell them about Simple House. Please have them reach out or even give their name to us, and we'll reach out to them.
Yep.
All right. Like, subscribe, and comment. Talk to you later.
See you, Clark.
Good to see you, Laura. Talk to you later. Bye.